Let us now go to the Lord in prayer. Eternal God, whose word silences the shouts of the mighty, quiet within us every voice but your own. Speak to us through the suffering and death of Jesus Christ, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, we may receive grace to show Christ's love in lives given to your service. Amen. The Psalter reading this morning comes from Psalm 118, verses 1 and 2, and verses 19 through 29. Listen again for the word of the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say his steadfast love endures forever. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we beseech you, O Lord. O Lord, we beseech you, give us success. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has given us light. Bind the festal procession with branches up to the horns of the altar. You are my God. And I will give you thanks. I will give thanks to you. You are my God. I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, and happy Palm Sunday. Our New Testament reading comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11, verses 1 through 11. Listen for the word of the Lord. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone asks you, 'What are you doing? Why are you doing this?' just say this: 'The Lord needs it and will return it back here immediately.' They went away and found the colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, 'What are you doing untying the colt?' They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that had been cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven.' Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Almighty God and Savior, thank you for giving us your word of truth to nurture and grow us into faithful disciples of Christ. Now speak through me, and let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today's scriptures describes Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. It was the first day of the week that Jesus died on the cross. It was around the time of the Passover, so tens of thousands of people from near and far were traveling to Jerusalem. Jesus and his disciples were traveling to Jerusalem by Bethphage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives. Now, for those geography enthusiasts who recognize that Mark wrote these cities out of order according to today's routes of travel, note that the Roman roads of Mark's time was different from today's. But more importantly, Mark mentions Bethany in verse 1, not because it is en route from Jericho to Jerusalem, but in order to identify the place where Jesus will spend nights while he is in Jerusalem, as we will see in verse 11. So there they were, Jesus and his disciples at the Mount of Olives, where he instructed two of his disciples to go and get a colt that had never been ridden. Jesus was very detailed with his instructions. He didn't want just any old colt, but the one in the village that was tied. He even gave instructions for what to say if anyone challenged their right to take the colt. And sure enough, someone did challenge the two disciples, but they were successful in completing the task because they followed Jesus' detailed instructions. When they returned with the colt, they laid their cloaks on it and Jesus sat upon it. Then some of the people who were traveling to Jerusalem laid their cloaks on the road, while others cut leafy branches or palms and laid them down. There were shouts of saving prayers and blessings, probably like our Palm Sunday parade today that we had out here on Monument Avenue. But the Synoptic Gospels testify similarly. In Matthew 21 and 9, it says, the crowds that went ahead of him and followed were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. And in Luke 19, 37 through 38, as he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with loud voices for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. And the Gospel of John records it this way. So they took the branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. Undoubtedly, many of those who were traveling heard of or had seen Jesus. Many of them hoped that Jesus would come. They needed a savior, someone to save them from the harsh realities of the oppression under Roman rule. Some of those among the crowd anticipated the arrival of a victorious king. Was it possible that some of these travelers just may have recalled the scripture in Zechariah 9 and 9, Rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion! Shout aloud, O daughter Jerusalem! Lo, your king comes to you. Triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. In the absence of this Old Testament scripture, one might read these verses in Mark 11 and wonder why Jesus gave such explicit instructions to his disciples. Why did he enter Jerusalem on a colt? And why did people shout, Hosanna? Why? Because Jesus knew exactly what he was doing. Although at the time the disciples didn't quite understand what Jesus was doing, the Gospel of John chapter 12, verse 16 tells us, at first, his disciples did not understand all of this. And Matthew recorded others among the crowd questioning, Who is this? To which the crowd responded, This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. Also, some of the Pharisees were disturbed by the attention Jesus received upon entering the city and asked Jesus to rebuke the disciples. But in Luke 19:39, Jesus replied, "I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out." Yes, Jesus knew exactly what he was doing. Jesus, the Son of Almighty God, fully God and fully human, knew the scripture and fulfilled the prophecy from approximately 500 years prior that a gentle king would come riding on a colt never before ridden. But Jesus also knew there was a problem. The problem was the people were looking for a different type of king. The people were looking for a knight in shining armor. They were looking for a king who would overthrow the powers that be and elevate God's people. They wanted an earthly king, a king of their very own to rule throughout the land. What they wanted and what Jesus preached were two entirely different things. Jesus preached about the kingdom of God. Indeed, there was confusion on the part of the crowd about Jesus' true mission. Conscious of his impending death on the cross, Jesus knew the crowds were not reliable. The joyful expectation of God's salvation that attended his approach to the city would leave him abandoned on the cross. You know, crowds are fickle. One minute they are rooting for you, and the next they are fighting against you. Today we know this to be true because the Bible tells us that a few days after Jesus entered Jerusalem and the temple, the crowd, once shouting, "Hosanna," would shout, "Crucify him." Special occasions, like holidays, are joyful times that some people look forward to with great anticipation. Beforehand, there is planning, there's preparation that builds excitement and hope for a good time. On the other hand, there are those individuals who dread the thought of gathering with family during these special times. They are filled with anxiety, and they anticipate the worst possible scenarios as they gather together. Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem was a special occasion. It was a joyous time filled with great anticipation for the arrival of a victorious king. Yet there were some who questioned his very being, and still others who protested the power of Jesus' presence. Jesus entered into Jerusalem. His entry was indeed a reason to shout, "Hosanna!" Because he came to save the world. He came to die for our sins. He came to defeat death. He came peacefully in obedience to God's will. He came and was resurrected and showed us the way to eternal life. Jesus had a goal and persevered through suffering so all who believed might live in him. Brothers and sisters, Jesus came to show us the way to eternal life by persevering through life's trials and living with the resurrection in full sight. Are you living in clear view of the resurrection? Or are you living in darkness? Mark 11, 1 through 11 shows us how to live in the hope of the resurrected Jesus. He was peaceful, obedient, and spiritually prepared for his journey to the cross. His triumphal entry was peaceful, He did not come with a lot of fanfare. Some Bible scholars posit that there are, of course, subtle messianic undertones in Jesus riding on a colt into Jerusalem as a gentle and peaceful Messiah that was recorded in Zechariah 9. But it is doubtful whether the crowd or authorities grasped the full significance of that moment. Like that of countless other Passover pilgrims to Jerusalem, Jesus' entry was apparently regarded by some in the masses as a pilgrimage rather than a messianic triumph. Jesus entered Jerusalem peacefully. Likewise, we too should be peaceful in our coming and our going, near and far, and in our interactions with one another as we make our journey towards eternal life in Christ. True peace. True peace comes from loving God and neighbor. But before we get to that peace, there will be suffering. Just like Jesus suffered and died for our sins and for our salvation, we must suffer the trials and challenges of life, whatever they may be. That means we must pray for one another, pray for our enemies, and persevere through the hard times with hope for peace through Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus was obedient, and he taught his disciples to be obedient, as today's passage in Mark 11 describes the obedience with which the two disciples followed Jesus' directions to retrieve the colt. Recall a time when you were given instructions for a specific task. Were you obedient to following those instructions, or did you take a shortcut only to find it was not that it had not generated the intended outcome? I praise God this morning that Jesus was obedient in going to Jerusalem and to the temple. This was all part of God's mission. As disciples of Christ, we are called obediently to follow Christ. We are called obediently to participate in God's mission here in the church. We are called to be obedient and good citizens of our communities. And we are called to be obedient in illuminating the world with the light of Christ. In Pastor Nelson's sermon last week, he said, as God's covenant people, God's law should be written on our hearts. Friends in Christ, when God's law is written on your hearts and on our hearts, our obedience to God's mission will reflect our love for God and for our neighbors, which is required as disciples of Jesus. Finally, Jesus was spiritually prepared for his journey to the cross. When Jesus entered the temple, he looked around. And then he left for Bethany with his disciples. Jesus left the temple because he looked around and something was not right. And if you read further in Mark 11, you will see that Jesus cleared the temple of the sellers and the money changers. They were there. It was a marketplace. It was a zoo. It wasn't right. But at the time of his triumphal entry into Jerusalem and the temple, Jesus entered that temple alone. He sized it up. He left for Bethany with the disciples. This is the first of Mark's clues that the temple was not the habitation of God's Son. Jesus is indeed the Messiah, but he was veiled and unrecognized on that day. Even when he stood at the center of Israel's faith, the temple, he stood alone. Are you spiritually prepared as disciples of Christ? Being spiritually prepared means that you may stand alone, probably more times than often. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And it is for this reason we can live in the sight with the sight of the resurrection at hand. That on this Palm Sunday, we can shout aloud, Hosanna, and know that on our journey, we are on our way to everlasting life in Christ. Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Amen.